This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All right, let's stand and take your copy of God's Word, and I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. And tonight we're going to pick up where we left off on our biblical ministry building series, talking about using certain tools that's going to help us to work and labor for the glory of Christ. And tonight I want to talk about membership, being a member of a local New Testament church. Why is it important for you to be a part of a local New Testament church? Now, this might surprise you. There are a lot of people out there today that don't believe in the membership of a local New Testament church. They believe that they can bounce from here and bounce there and go over here and go over there. They look at the church like a buffet. They just take what they want when they need to consume it with no strings attached, and then they walk away. I want you to know that the biblical worldview that a child of God ought to have is a lot more important than that. We should understand our God-given responsibility as a believer within the local New Testament church. Now, I believe in a universal church, that is, all believers together. But there is a sense in the New Testament that the Bible teaches the importance of a local New Testament church. And Parkway Baptist is a local New Testament body of believers. And it's important for you to take your God-given gifts, your talents, your time, your treasure, and invest it within the body of Christ in a local New Testament setting. And I'm going to show you that tonight as we talk about members together. Members together. Hebrews chapter number 10, if you're there, say amen. Hebrews chapter number 10, let's start looking in verse number 22. The Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, that is, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I'm going to ask you to be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I want to talk about tonight this biblical ministry building tool that God gives us called church membership. And let's pray that the Lord will bless us as we look at his word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. But most of all tonight, I thank you, Lord, for salvation. And I pray, God, that you would bless, Lord, our time together under the authority of your word. I pray that you would give me voice and clarity. Lord, you know that I have been under the weather the past several days, and so I'm depending upon the Spirit of God to anoint and to touch and to help me, Lord, as we articulate your word tonight. We believe, Lord, that this is the most important thing that can take place within the house of God. That is the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. It builds our faith. It strengthens our hope. It helps us, Lord, to go forward in a missional manner. So, Lord, we need the touch of the Holy Spirit of God tonight as we talk about this important issue. Lord, I believe it's not a sideline issue. It's an important issue, Lord, that we need to tackle tonight, and that is church membership. So help us, Lord, to rightly divide the Word of God. Lord, apply it to our heart and our life that we might not sin against you, and we will thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say, amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Let's start off with a question tonight. Is being a member of a local New Testament church, is that important to you? You don't have to answer out loud, but I'm just asking a question tonight. Is being a part of a local New Testament church something that is important to you? Do you feel like that you should be serving within a local New Testament church? You ought to be giving your time and your talent and your tithe to that local New Testament church. I'm going to ask you again, is being a member of a local church important to you? Well, Joshua Harris was asked that same question, and this is what he said in his response. He said, "When I graduated from my church's high school youth group, I started visiting around. I loved God and had a big dreams for how I wanted to serve him, but I didn't see any reason to get too involved in just one church. By then, I thought I knew all there was to know about church, and I wasn't impressed. Most churches struck me as out of date and out of touch. There had to be better, more efficient ways to accomplish great things for God. I want you to hear what he said. Most churches struck me as out of date and out of touch. There had to be better, more efficient ways to accomplish great things for God. Joshua's words reflects that he considered church membership as something that was secondary and not primary. To Josh, he believed that church membership was outdated. It was unproductive. And if you look at his words, it was even a hindrance. And I find that there are many people in our world today that have the same type of sentiments as Joshua Harris. That church membership is just a secondary thing. That church membership is outdated. It's a musty, worn-out idea. It's better to hop from here and to hop over there and try this and try that. That church membership is unproductive. It's just a hindrance to the Christian life. I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to be a part of a local New Testament church. When I read Josh's words, it's not that he didn't love God, nor is it that he didn't love God's people. He just felt like being a church member within a local church wasn't important. And when I read his words, I had to ask the question to myself, why are there people that feel that church membership is not important? Maybe you're one of them tonight. Maybe you could stand and you could argue why you feel that being a part of a local New Testament church is a secondary thing, that it's outdated, that it's not productive. It's better to approach it like a buffet, that I'll go to this church and get what I need over there, and then I'll go to this church the next week and get what I need over there, and I'll hop here and I'll hop there, and I'll find what I need within all of these churches instead of nailing it down and being a member at a local New Testament church. Why is it that people feel that church membership is not important? Well, let me give you five reasons. Five reasons why I feel that people feel like that church membership is not important. We could probably come up with more than five. As a matter of fact, as I was coming down the hallway, I even thought of a sixth one, but I'm gonna give you the five that I've outlined up here on our PowerPoint tonight. Here's the first one. In our world, in our church world, we have indifferent believers. Write it down. Indifferent believers. These are people that can either take it or leave it. They can take church membership or they can leave church membership. They're neither excited about being a church member, nor are they negative about being a church member. It's just, it doesn't matter to them. If you want to be a member of a local New Testament church, fine. If you don't want to be a member of a local New Testament church, well, that's fine too. They don't criticize it, but nor do they get excited about it. They are indifferent when it comes to the local New Testament church. That's one type of group. Let me give you the second group. I'm going to call them ignorant believers. And by ignorant believers, I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. What I'm saying is they are uninformed. They are unlearned. They have never considered what the Bible teaches about the local New Testament church. They don't have a biblical worldview when it comes to the local new church. They may understand the church universally, that there's believers everywhere around the world, but they've never come to terms with Paul's epistles. They've never come to terms with the seven churches of Asia Minor. They've never come to terms with a local New Testament setting. And these people are what I would label as ignorant believers. That is, they've never been taught. They're uninformed. They've never grappled with it. They've never tried to understand it. They are ignorant believers. There are some that are indifferent. They really don't care what you do. There are some that are ignorant concerning the truth of the Word of God. Then there are those that are indecisive believers. They're people that they just can't make up their mind. They go over here to this church and they love these two or three things, but then they go down the street and there's two or three things that they love about that church. And they say, well, if those two or three things was in this church that had these two or three things, then we'd have a great church. And they bounce back and forth back and forth, and they can never make a decision. They vacillate back and forth, never able to iron it down and pray for the will of God in their life. They are indecisive believers. So here's the first three. They're indifferent. They don't care. You've got some that are ignorant. They're unlearned. You've got some that are just indecisive. They can't make up their mind. They can't make a decision. They don't know what to do. And then there are those who are those independent believers. Those independent believers, I'm going to call them the Lone Ranger Christians. They don't want to be burdened with all the responsibilities. They want to come to church and they want to consume what they need. They want the music. They want the friends. They want the small groups. They want all of these things, but they want to leave church with no strings attached. Don't give them anything to do. Don't give them no requirements. Don't put no responsibilities on them. Just come and warm the bench and take what you want and then leave without ever worrying about anything that happens at the church. You don't worry about the church finances. You don't worry about the church leadership. You don't worry about those who are sick in the hospital. You just want to come and take what you need and then leave with no strings attached. Those are independent believers. You got people that don't care about church because, number one, they're indifferent. Number two, they're ignorant. Number three, they're indecisive. Number four, they're independent. And then there's one more category. This is what I would call the inverted believers. These are people who are a part of a church and they won't join the church because the church they grew up in, 12 or 15 towns or states over, their membership is still there. Their strings are attached there. Yet they're serving here, and they are inverted. They won't number themselves with God's people. Yeah, they're attending here at Parkway Baptist, but across town in that little home church that they grew up in, they can't bring themselves to join and to worship here because their heart is still strung somewhere in the bygone days. Why is it that people will not commit to being a member within a local New Testament church? Here's what I'm going to argue tonight. I'm going to argue that the root cause of all five of these stems from the same identical problem. It is a failure to understand God's intent for the local church. This is the reason why there's indifferent and ignorant and indecisive and independent and inverted believers. They have never come to terms with what the Bible has to say about being a member in a local New Testament church. Listen tonight, if church membership is not important in the Bible, then why does the Apostle Paul outline church leadership? He gives us qualifications not only for the pastor, but he also gives us qualifications for the deacons. And if there's no such thing as membership in a church body, then those words make absolutely no sense at all. If church membership wasn't important, then why would Jesus in Matthew chapter number 18 and Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 outline church discipline? Those words make absolutely no sense whatsoever. If there's no such thing as an identifiable body, a group of people that are to come underneath leaders, qualified leaders, there's to be church discipline within the church. Did you know that even in the Bible, the early New Testament church, they came up with lists. And one of the lists that they had was a list of widows. In Acts chapter number 6, you'll find that the widows were being neglected in their daily administration. And Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 9, he says, make sure that you are counting the widows. None of these things make any sense at all if there's no organized, independent body of believers. If there is no group whatsoever, you think about it. The Bible tells us that we are to elect and we are to ordain leaders. The Bible tells us that we are to be submitting ourselves to spiritual leaders. Did you know that the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we are to obey those that have rule over us? Those words make absolutely no sense whatsoever if there is no organized local structure of a group of people. The Bible teaches we're to be ordaining, we're to be electing leaders, we're to be submitting to spiritual leadership, we're to be keeping lists. None of these things make any sense whatsoever if there is not an identifiable, distinct body that is recognized, listen, called the local church. Let me give you an illustration from the book of Romans that may help you understand what the local church is. You may understand that the universal church is a group of people that are all saved or part of the body of Christ, but maybe you've never come to terms with the importance of being a member, a solid member, a healthy member, a faithful member. What does it mean to be a part of Parkway Baptist and to be a member here at the church? Well, I think a great illustration to help you is found in the book of Romans. Excuse me, Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 5. The Bible says, so we being many are one, what's the next word? Can you see it? One what? Somebody say it. One what? Body. So we being many, we are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. When I read that verse, I can see that Paul says being a member of the church was the same thing as being a vital organ of a living body. Take away that organ, then the body will not be able to function. If the organ is separated from the body, then the organ living in isolation will dry up and die. And the same thing could be said about you as a Christian. If you separate yourself from the church, and you separate yourself from membership, if you decide to live your life in isolation, you're going to experience loneliness, and you're certainly going to dry and die if you are attached from the body. The organ only functions when it's properly attached to the body. And I'm going to tell you tonight that as a believer of Jesus Christ, you will only function rightly when you are attached to the body. That is, you are a member, you are tithing, you are praying, you are worshiping, you're on mission with God, you're doing what God has called you to do within the context of a local New Testament church. You see, the Bible teaches that the church is a body. It's not a building structure of just mortar and clay. It's a body of people, individuals. It's an organism, not an organization. It's a vital organ connected to the body. And so the Bible teaches us, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. You know, when a person hops from church to church and, you know, and they're always looking for the grass, you know, that's always greener on the other side. Just remember, when you do that and you get there, you have to mow it. Somebody say amen, right? You know, they hop from church to church. You know what they're saying? They're saying my membership is meaningless. That it's okay for me to hop over here, and it's all right for me to hop over there and then hop back here and then even hop back in here later on. What they feel and what they're saying is my membership is meaningless. I want you to know that your membership is not meaningless. I want you to know that your membership here is vital. I want you to know when you're hopping around and you're going from church to church and you're not a part of the body of Christ here, I want you to know it hurts. I want you to know it hurts. It hurts this pastor. It hurts our leadership. It hurts us in every single way. You need to be on mission with God and get yourself anchored somewhere, not hopping here and hopping there. You need to learn to be loving God and loving others and bearing fruit. That's what I want to teach you to do. I want to teach you how to love God. I want to teach you within the context of a local church how to love others. And then by loving God and loving others, how that you can bear fruit for the cause of Jesus Christ. If you're mopping up what I'm spilling, somebody say amen. I want you to be a faithful member, one where you understand my membership counts. If I were to come up and rip your heart out today, well, you would be not effective. Your heart's going to dry up and die, and so are you. When our members are ripped away, they're ripped away over here, they're ripped away over there by whatever cause, it brings damage to the body of Christ. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be a pillar and a post. I'm not asking you to look at your church membership and your Christianity like a buffet at some type of meal where you can pick and choose what you want to put on your plate. I'm asking you to allow God to dish out on your plate what God would have you to have and to use it for the honor and the glory of Christ, being a pillar and a post of truth to a generation that is so confused when it comes to a biblical worldview, to stand by faith, trusting in God each and every day. If you're with me, say amen. That's the type of generation we need today. People that understand church is important. And so I'm going to say it again. God would have never given us instructions about leadership, ordination, church discipline, loving one another. None of those things make a bit of sense if there is no such thing as the local New Testament church. And so tonight, I'm going to approach this sermon this way. I'm going to ask three questions, and then I'm going to give you three answers. And you track this with me. Here's question number one. Why should I be a member of a church? That's the first question. You may be here tonight, or you're listening by the way of the internet or on our app, and you're asking the same question. Why should I be a member of a church? Why can't I go over here and go over there and just, you know, freely move about, experiencing all the churches? Why is it important for me to be a part of one particular New Testament local church, whether that's here, down the street, across town? Why is it important for me to be a member of a church? Now, you need to know this, that almost every time the word church is used in the Bible, almost every time it is referring to a local, visible, single congregation. You read about the seven churches of Asia Minor. Those were seven literal local churches. They had a pastor. They had a congregation. And the Bible teaches us that John wrote to every one of those seven different churches. When Paul's writing his epistles, he's writing to these churches. They are local churches of New Testament believers gathered together somewhere with a pastor, with a group of deacons, with a congregation that is thriving and on mission with God. Every time you read about the church in the Bible, it is a visible, single, local type of congregation that the authors are addressing. As a matter of fact, I'd go as far as to say this. The Bible teaches that the Christian who's not a member of a local church, he's like an organ without a body. He's like a sheep without a flock. He's like a child without a family. Think about that. I want you to know, I'm talking from experience tonight. When my mother died on April the 9th, and I started getting phone calls and text messages and people praying with me over the phone, and the countless kindness that this church, our deacons and our leadership and many other people, the countless numbers of encouragement and kindness that came across to me and my family absolutely overwhelmed me. And I was so thankful that I was a part of a body of people that I could call the family of God. Do you know the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19, now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What Paul is saying is this, we are family. And I don't see how some churches and some people can get through certain things without the family of God. The local church coming aside and praying for one another. The local church coming aside and gathering up a collection to help somebody. The local church coming together and being on mission with God together. The local church coming together and evangelizing the community. The Bible teaches us we are a family. We are not orphanless. We're not a child without a family. We have a family. We have our Father, and you and I are brothers and sisters together. If you believe that, say amen. You know, it's interesting to me that the passage that we read here in Hebrews, I want you to note something about how each verse starts. Verse 22, 23, and 24, it says, let us draw near. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Look at verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I want you to know these words don't even make sense if there is no independent, local, New Testament church where there's a group of people coming together on a weekly basis, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together like some people do, the verse reads, but exhorting, that is encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, the local church is not a place where we come together and, you know, and we're manipulated, or we're taught that we're just bad individuals and we have all this criticism and legalism. The local New Testament church is a place where we extend hope, where we extend grace and mercy, where the love of God is seen in and through the church, where people see Jesus in us. If you believe that, say amen with me. The verses say, let us, let us, let us, let us. As a matter of fact, in the Greek text, it actually means to observe fully or to perceive. To observe fully. Let us observe fully. Let us perceive this, considering one another, provoking unto love. This is what we are to do. You say, Brother David, what is it that we are to observe? If let us means we are to observe, what is it that I should observe within the local church? Well, I'm glad that you asked. I think that we ought to observe the wonderful benefits that God provides within the local church. Did you know that there's benefits in being a member? Number one, there are physical benefits in being a member. There are physical benefits. Now, this may shock you. It did me, but this came out of the Indiana University, Purdue University there in Indiana. It was published in a journal for the scientific study of religion. And listen to what this journal, this article had to say. This might even shock you a little bit. Maybe we'll have some people join the church right after the service, after I read this. Listen to what it says. People who join a church, attend regularly, and get involved, get sick much less often than those who don't. In fact, it was found that non-church members who never attend church or participated were more than twice as likely to report health problems as those who were members. Now we're going to open up the doors of the church, and I need 10 of you to join right now, right? If you come to church, the article says, if you're a part of a body of people, you stay more healthy. And I was thinking about this article today. I was like, okay, come on, man. Are you serious about this? And I began meditating on it more, and I wrote in my own personal journal and on my study notes, and this is what I wrote in my journal. I'll share it with you. Being a member produces a purpose within us, an inner drive that pushes the believer beyond our illness and even our limitations. When we give way to the power of faith by trusting in God, each step of the way, God makes us happy, healthy, and holy. Are you hearing me tonight? Are you hearing me tonight? When you are walking with God and you're grabbing a hold of the hand of God, I believe that God can make you happy. I believe that God can cause you to be healthy. And I believe that God can cause you to be holy. If you will trust in Him, God will push you beyond your limitations. If you will trust in Him, God will give you an inner drive that helps you to be on mission with God. Where do I find that? How do I get plugged in? By being a member of a local New Testament church, somebody said. Say amen. There's physical benefits. Those of you that like casting crowns, you're familiar with the song that says, but if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there's a way, there is a way? You know, if people are not being reached and healed and taught, it's because the body of Christ is neglecting to do their job. We are the body of Christ. And being a part of a church, there are physical benefits. Second of all, not only are there physical benefits, but there's also emotional benefits. Emotional benefits. Not only will you be healthier, all right, physically, but you'll also be happier along the way. You know, I did a search this morning when I was studying, and I began in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and I looked all the way over to the book of Jude. And I wanted to do a search and find how many times the word together was from Romans to the book of Jude. I didn't go to Revelation because I considered it a prophecy and the church will be gone. I wanted to find out what the Bible had to say from Romans to Jude. And do you know that I found that 42 times in the New Testament, it uses the word together. Let me give you a few of the verses that I found. Listen to this. Romans chapter 1, verse number 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. This is the local New Testament church. Paul says, I want to be comforted together with you by the mutual faith that we have, both you and me. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. I don't know no better emotional benefit within the church that we have than praying together. I have been broken. You know, a few weeks ago, we were here for the revival, and when CT put me and Melissa up here, and all of you gathered around and begin to pray, somebody caught a picture of that and sent that to me. And I want you to know, at that moment, I could feel the presence of God, the power of God. I can't explain it. I can't even define it. All I know is what I felt at that moment. As God's people begin to pray for me and for my family, I could feel the emotional benefits of being saved. I could feel the emotional benefits of being a part of the family of God, local New Testament believers, where we share burdens and we share problems, and even we know one another's warts. We know the bad stuff and the good stuff about one another, and yet we lay it aside and we love on one another and we encourage one another. That's one of the marvelous, wonderful benefits of being saved and being on mission with God and being a part of a local New Testament church. There is this emotional benefit of praying together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together. There it is, resurrection. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And let me add the word together. There is a physical benefit. There is an emotional benefit. And of course, there are spiritual benefits to being a part of a local church. Now remember, we're asking this question. We're asking the question, why should I become a member of a church? Paul says we need to observe some things. There's physical benefits, there's emotional benefits, but also there is spiritual benefits. Let me list some for you. Number one, identity. When you are a part of a local church, church membership identifies you as a believer. You become a member of a church, and you're committed to the cause of that church and what that church is doing. And when you get up on Sunday morning, you grab your Bible and your family, and you walk out the door, you may have a lost neighbor. Somebody's watching you. They're watching you go down your sidewalk. They're watching you enter into your car, and they see you do that Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, because you are a member of a church. You believe in what that church is trying to do. You are behind the leadership of that church, and you become like an open Bible to your neighborhood. You identify yourself as a child of God. I'm a member of this local church. When they have revival, I am there. When the doors are open, I am there. I'm praying for that church. I'm giving to that church. I'm going to foreign countries with that church. I'm identifying myself as a believer of Jesus Christ because I'm identifying with a local New Testament church. A spiritual benefit is not only identity, but also maturity. We grow best as we grow together. We grow best as we grow together in spiritual maturity. Not only maturity, but also ministry. Within the confines of a local New Testament church, you discover your spiritual gift. And upon discovering your spiritual gift, you begin to use that gift for the glory of God and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And so we have identity, we have maturity, we have ministry. And then there is authority. Every church member ought to be under the authority of the local pastor. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember them which have rule over you. Again, that sentence makes absolutely no sense if there is no local New Testament church. If there is no grouping of people together, if there is no body of people together, if there is no definable group gathering together, this phrase, that sentence, makes absolutely no sense. But the Bible expects every local church to have a pastor. Whether it is me or the next guy after me, you as a church member, you are to come underneath the authority of that local pastor. The church is not governed by deacons. The church is not governed by a committee. The church is not governed by a family. The church is not governed by a popular people within that culture. The church is led and finds its leadership under the shepherd, who is the pastor of the church. And the Bible says, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith you follow, considering the end of their conversation. And so there is accountability, there's identity, maturity, ministry, authority, and of course, accountability. James chapter 5 and verse number 16 says, confess your faults one to another. That absolutely makes no sense if there is no local church. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The Bible assumes that we are gathering together, that we are familiar with one another, that we know one another by name, that we associate one another with our families. There's an understanding here, a mutual agreement of faith. And the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. And so why should I be a member of a church? Well, there's all sorts of wonderful benefits, physical, spiritual, and so on, as we talked about tonight. Let me give you the second question. You still with me? Say amen. Let me give you the second question. How do I become a member of a church? Well, I'm glad you asked, all right? So, of course, I would love for you to be a member here at Parkway Baptist. You say, well, what do I have to do? Is there a certain amount of dues that I have to pay? Do I have to have some type of ritual? What do I need to do in order to become a member of a church? Now, we'll say this, that if you decide to join a church, most local New Testament churches, they have a requirement for you to be a member. And most New Testament local churches, the number one requirement is for you to express a personal profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is, that you tell me that there was a time in your life where you trusted Jesus Christ, that you're not trusting in the church to get you to heaven, you're not trusting in a ritual or a rite, that you are trusting in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that you know with a shadow of a doubt that you've been born again, you put your faith in Christ, and let me add Christ alone. That's the number one requirement. The other requirement would be to be baptized by immersion in obedience to the New Testament. We don't believe in sprinkling around here. We believe that if you're going to be baptized, you're to be totally immersed. We believe that you go all the way down. It's like the story I read of the Baptist preacher who went into the Methodist church and he was preaching. And he was preaching away and he's preaching hellfire and brimstone. He reached down and grabbed a glass of water and took a sip and the whole church went, oh. Well, it shocked him. He just kept on preaching and got a little thirsty and he took another sip and the whole church went, oh. You know, that startled him again. Well, he just kept on preaching and got heavier and hotter, and he got so thirsty, he just grabbed and he drank all the rest of it, and the whole church just gasped. They couldn't believe what was going on. Well, he finished the sermon, he asked the pastor, he said, preacher, why was the church so shocked? He said, it's because you drunk our baptistry. Psh, get it? Sprinkle. What funny was it, Jerry? We don't believe in sprinkling. We believe that baptism is by immersion. As Jesus went down into death and was raised again, we are identifying with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. So you say you have a profession of faith, you're baptized by immersion, and then we're asking you to abide by the faith and practice of the church, which is outlined in the Bible and illustrated and defined within our bylaws and even our church covenant. We want you to grow in discipleship. We want you to be a member. Now you say, well, Brother David, why do I have to have all these requirements, the reasons why? Why is it necessary for me to do this? Because the difference between a church attender and a church member is one word. It's the word commitment. The difference between a church attender and a church member is the word commitment, that you are committed to the cause of Christ within that local church. And here it is, verse 24 and 25. Let us, here's your requirement, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what type of member you need to be? Be an encouraging member. Be an encouraging member. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, or it could be rendered like some people do, but exhorting, encouraging one another. One of the greatest gifts that God has given to the church is the spiritual gift of encouragement. And that is something that all of us can do. Encourage somebody. Pray for somebody. Say a kind word. Do a kind act. Do something within that body of believers that identifies you as a child of God and encourage somebody. Listen, you don't need a college degree to encourage somebody. You don't have to have a seminary education to encourage somebody. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't even have to be a certain age. All you have to do is to be willing to encourage somebody. So how do I become a member? I'm saved. I'm baptized by immersion, and then I recognize the faith and practice of that local church, and I identify my Christianity with that church. Well, here's the third question. Where should I belong as a member of a church? Well, I'm going to say again, I think you ought to belong to Parkway Baptist, all right? I think you ought to sign up and be right here at this church, yoked up with us, being on mission with God with us here. But if you're praying about it, and you're wondering, where do I belong? Let me help you. There's at least four things that you should look for when you are deciding to be a part of a local New Testament church. Number one, you ought to make sure that the Word of God is being preached within that church. You don't need man's philosophy. You don't need man's ideas or conjecture. You need the Word. The Word of God needs to be rightly divided, not just some of it, but all of it. Somebody say amen. Not based upon that man's opinion, but thus saith the Word of the Lord. You need to make sure that they are preaching the Word of God. So word. Second of all, worship. You find a church that's worshiping Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. You find a church where the worship is uplifting and inspiring and motivating, and it's centered upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the word's being preached. There's worship. Then there is witness. That is, the church is on mission with God. The church is identifying themselves as soul winners on mission with God. They have a mandate from heaven. They are ambassadors for Christ, and they are telling others about Jesus and his love. And then last of all, the word work. A place where you can identify your spiritual gift, jump in there, and get involved. You say, I'm looking for a church. What do I need to find? The word, worship, witness, and work. Those four things ought to help guide your decision in finding a local New Testament church. Let me conclude the sermon by reading you a story. And by reading you a story, you're not allowed to fall asleep, grab a pillow, or cuddle up in a blanket, all right? I want you to hear this because it sums up everything that I was trying to tell you tonight about being a member. The story's about four people, and the four people's names are everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. These are the four people in the story. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. And here's how the story goes. The church needed help meeting its financial obligations, and everybody was asked to participate. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but you know who did it? Nobody. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. When the church grounds needed some work, somebody was asked to help. But somebody resented being called upon because anybody could have done it just as well. After it was all said and done, it was really everybody's job. In the end, the work was given to nobody, and nobody got it done. The process went on and on. Whether the task that needed to be done, nobody could be counted on to do it. Nobody visited the sick. Nobody gave generously. Nobody shared the word. In short, nobody was a very faithful member. Finally, the day came when somebody left the church and took anybody and everybody with him. Who was left? Nobody was left. I want you to know, friend, every single member is important at Parkway Baptist. Every single one of us counts. Your membership here is not meaningless. It's important. It is vital. It strengthens the church. It encourages the church. When you're torn away from here and you're torn away from there, there's something damaging that happens. When you decide to come and consume all that you can, but then there's no strings attached, it not only hurts you, it doesn't help the church. I'm asking you to become a member. I'm asking you to be committed. I'm asking you to keep your eyes on the prize. I'm asking you to keep your eyes on the cause. It doesn't matter what this church is doing or that church is doing, how they have compromised or what may be going on. You keep your eyes where God has led you. You keep your eyes where God is leading you and God is guiding you, and you be on mission with God right here in this local New Testament church that we call Parkway Baptist Church, 65 Stewart Road, Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. If you're with me, say amen. Father in heaven, we pray.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.